Welcome to Bear Bow Hunter Podcast with your host, Nate Bailey, where we look to the ancient paths of our hunting ancestors to guide our future, where woodsmanship and hard work outweigh advanced shooting devices, where we value those who have gone before us and welcome those who are yet to come. Join us as we exchange valuable insight about the Bear Bow Hunter's lifestyle. Welcome to the Bear Bow Hunter Podcast, and today we are going to give you some elk calling tips that you've probably never heard in a podcast or probably never heard anywhere else that have nothing to do with elk calls. It's something that I found over the years that has helped my elk calling success probably 500%. Another thing that's helped my elk hunting success is my footwear. Now, I've used every type of boot from the real heavy leather uppers all the way to the real light hiking type boots. And it seems like the real heavy leather boots tear up your feet, and the real light boots, your feet tear them up. But I found something in a boot that is in between both of those, the durability of that real heavy leather boot and the comfortable wearability of that hiking boot. And this is through a company that we should all know is Lacrosse, and it's the Lacrosse Ursa boot. If you guys haven't seen this Ursa boot, it's new to the market, but it's not new to the elk woods. If you haven't seen this boot, you probably should pause this podcast right now and go over to lacrossefootwear.com/Ursa, U-R-S-A. And you can check out a boot that I think is really designed for the backcountry hunter in mind. Now, Lacrosse knows, you know, they've been in business for over 125 years, and they've been around hunters for a long, long, long time, and they know what those woods demand. So I think they're the perfect company to come out with something that's built for this terrain that we, you know, the steep, nasty terrain that we hunt in. The Ursa was designed with several hunters within different places like Alaska, Idaho, Oregon, Utah, and if there wasn't something right in this boot, they took it completely back apart and redesigned that piece of the boot. And so it's been in design for over 5 years, which is crazy when you think about a boot that's really trying to meet a purpose of what we do. They really took our heart and our minds to heart when they built this boot, and I think that they've done a very good job. And the reason is it's got the things like Tech Tough infused leather. So this leather is, you know, Lacrosse has been in this business for a long time. They know how and what kind of leather to use and what to build their leather uppers with. And then the cool thing about it is it's got that leather for the durability, but it's got the super fabric panels, which are super. So you have the best of both worlds here, right? You have the leather for durability and then the breathability of the super fabric panel. Now, it's waterproof with the Gore-Tex liner, and it's got the full HexGuard rubber rand. So I don't wear a boot out in the elk woods or anywhere in the West, really, without a full rand going all the way around the boot. That's just something that I've changed to, and I tell you what, it helps the durability of that boot, because not only does it keep the boot from getting ripped up down there at the bottom, but it also will keep that water from getting in there, that moisture, and eating at those at the threads, you know, that hold the sole on. And that's something that I found in other boots that, man, I have tore up my fair share of boots. I walk through wallows all the time, and I just don't even pay attention. You know, a good boot should be able to handle that. Now, the Ursa also has a vibram sole, and it's a molded footbed. And that's lightweight EVA midsole. And this midsole is what provides all of the that provides all of the stability when you're packing out heavy loads. And you'll know a good boot when you start putting like an elk quarter and things like that on your back. That's why they build that midsole, is to help with that heavy load. It's to stabilize. Have you guys ever packed a heavy load and your knees hurt, and you think it's something coming from the way you're stepping or something like that? But that's not true. It's actually from the stability of the boot, that your knees taking up all that. Well, if you get a good boot that's really stable, your knees will start feeling better for you. this is the boot that's going to get you closer, guys. I'm telling you. You should probably go check it out. If you haven't checked it out already, you need to head over to lacrossefootwear.com/URSA. U-R-S-A. So it's I'll say it again. lacrossefootwear.com/URSA. So I'm telling you, elk season is almost here. And these kind of things really get me going. When I start thinking about gear and I start thinking about elk hunting and I start thinking about getting all my stuff together, this is probably one of the, I don't know, the anticipation of elk season and trying to figure out what you did wrong last year and what you're doing better this year, I think is just as big a part as elk season as elk season itself. And then putting these plans together, one of the things that, you know, Gage and I do, or us here at the Barebow Hunters, is we will go into all of our scouting areas and we'll try to get these plans together. And then it all culminates in opening day, right? And then opening day, a lot of times, the elk just really aren't that big into rutting yet. Of course, you'll find pockets here and there. But the one thing that you'll have to understand about this elk rut and this calling and bow hunting, especially traditional bow hunting for elk, is you just got to be out there. And you got to trust your calls. So that's not part of these five tips that I'm going to give you, but I got to build this up for you, because you really do need to trust your calling and you really do need to just continue to hunt and find those pockets of elk. Eventually, if they're not calling at first, everybody says, well, the elk don't call in my area. And I'm telling you, they do. They may not call while you're there. They may call, those same elk may call in a different area. You're catching elk in, you know, in their transition periods, and they're not so call-y then. Maybe the weather is calming them down and they're just really not getting too anxious yet. But elk come to elk bugles and to cow calls, and elk come to all sorts of different elk noises. And I'm telling you, when you start thinking like an elk and pretending that you are an elk, it's a whole different world out there. And honestly, it's more fun when you start taking this stuff. And a lot of people go out there and they try to control situations. And what you need to do is you need to let the situation control you. You are now becoming an elk. That's your job until right at the very end. And then you turn back into a human and you place that arrow in that elk. But, that's why we like traditional bow hunting so well, and that's why we like elk hunting so well, is because the two are made for each other. I don't know, there's something really primitive about it, and calling elk within, I mean, most of the elk that I've killed have been within feet, not yards, but feet. And that is just something that I think is built into us. For thousands of years, we've done this. You know, humans have hunted elk, bison, all this in the western hemisphere. We've hunted things and got really close and put a well-placed arrow into animals for thousands of years, and there's just something really good about this. If you guys haven't tried elk hunting yet, say you're in the Midwest or whatever, save up your coffee money and come out here and do it. It's worth your time. So with that said, let's jump into these five different tips. I'll tell you what the tips are, and then we'll go back in and I'll explain it to you. So the first one is locate on the ridges, and I'm sure people probably told you this before, but I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that. And then call with other things than your call. That's the second tip. Call with other things than your call. That's a big one. That's probably one of the biggest tips I could give you. And the third thing is, if you have two callers, the caller is who steers the bull. Now, a lot of people I see, well, I'll get back to this. I want to jump into it. I'm so excited about elk season and calling situations that I love talking this stuff and I love sharing it. But, and the fourth thing is figure out what the call that you're using is designed for and use it for that. Now, I know that sounds really weird, but it'll make a lot more sense to you when we get through this. And then the last thing is you got to challenge the bull. You got to challenge the bull. You got to challenge the bull. That these are things. This is the type of tips that'll take you from somebody who's hearing bugles in the woods and thinks that the elk are running away from them and the elk don't come into bugles. And I know there's probably like at least 75% of people out there. I was one of them. I was a guy that, you know, you used to get really jacked up when you got an elk to answer you. And then all of a sudden they're like, where'd they go? Well, I'm going to cover that in here. So, okay, let's jump right back up to that. That first, tip is locate the bulls on the ridges. And what I mean by this is when you strategically pick out your spots on the map, you're looking for a ridge line that you could walk along and then you could call down into the north facing slopes. Now realize that most of the time in the mornings, a lot of the bulls aren't on those ridgetops yet. They're making their way up there. They're in the transition zones. If you're really deep in the morning, or, you know, early in the morning, sorry. If you're really early in the morning, those elk are down in the bottoms, getting ready to come back up. And one of the things is, if you're on the ridgetops, and say you've done your due diligence and you've scouted this and there's a lot of elk sign up there where you're at on the ridgetop, if you're up there really early, you're gonna have to just chill. If you're into elk sign, sit there and wait, because those elk are making their way up. Most elk will find a ridgetop where they can be at the top third of that ridge, and that's where they're gonna bed. They're gonna bed for the day at the top third, and a lot of times they like to have stuff on their backside, so the uphill side, to where they could see, or where it's super dense where they could hear something come through. So when they're bedded down, nothing could sneak up behind them. And then if down below is, you know, on the ridge down below them, once those thermals start coming up the ridge, and that's, you know, that switch time where the sun starts coming out and it feels good down in the bottoms, that's when you're talking about. That's when they're going to be up there. You got to understand that the elk are not going to stay in those bottoms. And then if you're following them from the bottoms up, they're already onto you by the time that you get up to the ridgetop. I'm telling you, if you're following the elk up the ridge, if you're not parallel them, you know, at least a few hundred yards away, they're going to catch your scent and they're going to know that you're in the area, and they'll probably not be as callable. Now, of course, you know, when the rut's really going on, sometimes there's days out there when you just can't make a mistake. But if you're hunting this, man, hunt it really good the whole time. That's why I don't ever start in the bottoms. I don't call in the bottoms. I might go locating at night in the bottoms to see where the elk are, but I've never shot an elk in that real greeny stuff. It's always been up in the timber on the ridge. So make sure that you start on the ridges. And like I said, I like to start on the ridges and I'll wait for the elk to come to me. And a lot of that comes from scouting. So if I know the elk are coming through there, that's where I'm going to go. A lot of times though, you'll hear them coming up the ridge. If you're up on top and you're bugling, you'll hear them down below you and you'll hear them come up. One of the things too, this is just a side note. If you're up on the ridge and you hear the elk coming up, kind of hang out up on the ridge. Don't follow down into them and go straight at them. And the reason I say that is you can make a whole lot more ground up on top of the ridge. You can move a lot further across there. And that's what you really want to do, is you want to be able to move. And once they've stopped, just you could keep locating up on top. And that bull's not, he's going to stop where the cows stop. And the cows are the ones that are leading up there to the beds. He could care less about bedding down right now. He's just going to hang around with those cows, and he's the one bugling. So once they stop, you know that the cows are bedded in there, and he'll still bugle at you. So once that happens, then you can make your move. Make sure your wind's right and get down there. And that's part of one of my other tips, but we'll jump into that one later. So keep that in mind, that one of my other tips is you got to get close to that bull. You got to challenge him. But before we get there, let's talk about other things that you could use rather than a call. And this is a huge one. Okay, guys, as these bulls are getting more pressure and pressure and pressure, and these calls are getting better and better and better, And some of these, say some of these elk have had some, already had some conversations, with, you know, hunters and got busted and everything else. These bulls get more wary as they go. You know, here in the Cascades, especially, they get really wary, when they're hunted in a high pressure area. And there's a lot of people that, are getting into elk hunting. And I don't want to sound, this sounds horrible, but they're getting into elk hunting and really just don't do it right. And so they associate that sound, that bugle or the cow calls, with a human that's not doing things right. The only way to get his mind back into it being an elk again is you become an elk. And what I mean by that is, and a lot of guys in our videos are like, man, how you kill anything? You're so loud. Well, that's part of our calling sequence. We are being loud on purpose. We are always loud when we're elk hunting and calling. There's times to be quiet when you're elk hunting. You know, if we're sending somebody forward, we have them sneak up forward. We don't want the elk to know that that person is across the field, say. We have to sneak then. But most of the time in our calling sequences, we can't be loud enough, because I don't know if you guys have been out there around a herd of elk that has rutting bulls in it and cows that are coming into heat and things like that. It is loud. They are super loud. The cows, everybody tells us we over cow call too. Have you ever been around elk that are getting fired up? Every cow in that bunch is just going crazy. They're when you get, there's nothing better than getting a bunch of cows to think that you're a bull, start coming towards you and giving you a lot of chirps. They're like, come out, I want to see you, because, you know, old Johnny over here, he might be smaller than you are. And that's when you start getting that kind of interaction with the elk. Old Johnny's going to get, he's going to get PO'd. He's does not like those cows moving away from him and talking to another bull. That is, you're going to call that bull in 100% of the time. You're going to get that. I've had bulls come in upwind of me at that moment. They didn't give a crap about my wind. And, because I had cows just going crazy over my calls. So the way that we do this, though, is we're breaking sticks and we're rubbing trees. I rub more trees. You could. There's times when I don't even bugle. I'm just rubbing, and it just makes those bulls just get infused. I think it was 2017 with Jerry. We had a bull that was hanging up on us. Jerry couldn't sneak up any further, and that bull was just sitting there rubbing a raking about 50, 60 yards out. Jerry couldn't get an arrow in it. He couldn't get any closer. It was, that bull was out in the open. Jerry had a little set of trees behind him. You guys might have seen the video, but anyhow, I knew I was behind Jerry, and that bull was just sitting there raking and raking and raking, not bugling a whole lot. He wasn't the herd bull, so he bugled a couple times, but he was raking more. And the only thing I could think of was running up, and I just ran flat out up the hill, and I was probably only 100 yards away from that bull, but I stepped on every stick that I could. That's all it took. That bull quit rubbing and came right into us, and he stopped in a thicket within feet of Jerry, but it just goes to show that I called that bull in by running up the hill and making all that noise. He came over there because I'd been making a lot of elk noise before that, and he thought I was coming into him. That's what happens, man. Out in the woods, if you just sit there and watch these animals and be around them, that's exactly what happens out in the woods. These elk are, they're so interactive, and people just don't take that into account. They, you know, a lot of times what people do is they just set up on an elk and the elk walks away because they're going to their bedding areas. They catch them in their feeding areas, and the elk are transitioning out of the feeding areas, and they think that they scared them off, and that's not the way it goes. So in a two-person scenario, so this is the third tip, in a two-person scenario, the caller is what steers that bull. Now, you'll see a lot of guys like on video and stuff where the shooter has control over what happens. That's good. There should be some, because the shooter usually has eyes on the elk, whereas the caller doesn't quite have as much eyes on the elk. But there have been situations where the caller has called elk away from me. So, like, Gage and I, you probably see it in one of our videos. Gage called a bull right away from me. He was down the ridge a little bit further, and I was up the ridge a little bit further. And all Gage would have had to do to pull that bull across me was to go up the ridge and call past me. Now, Gage hadn't called in hardly any. That was, I think that might have been the first bull that Gage called in. But that's why it's, you got to think about this stuff before you get out there in the woods and talk it over with your buddies and get some hand signals down. But that caller should be moving that bull around. The bull's going to come to a place where he thinks he could see where that sound's coming from. And so you want to place your shooter where you think that sound's going to be. People do this all the time. And if you get a good caller, that's why it's so good to have somebody that you're used to being around, because that caller's eventually going to pull that bull across to you. Another thing is, this time of year, understand that if that bull comes into a certain spot and then goes away, he's probably going to come back to that spot again if he didn't smell you. If he just walks off because he didn't see anything, he's probably going to come to that spot again. So put your shooter down there, or if you're by yourself, you run up there, call, and then come back to where you know he's going to stop again, to where you have a good clear shooting lane at that spot. That bull's probably going to come back there because he already's been there once, and he didn't get attacked by a cougar or a bear, so he knows that it's a pretty safe spot to come to. So that's a huge tip. Don't give up, man. We've called in, was it 2020? We called in those bulls to Kevin, and he missed that one, and we kept after that bull. Excuse me. And we kept after that bull, and ended up shooting that big one down at the end of the day. And that was 4 hours worth of interaction with elk. So that's probably one of the biggest tips that I could give you is call, let the caller pull them past you. If you're out there by yourself, do the rubber band thing where you go up, call where you know where the bull's going to stop, and then or call back where that pulls the bull to where you know it's going to stop, and then go up to where you know he's going to stop and hang out there. And then make some good raking noises and step on sticks, and I'll even shake trees. If I know that bull can see the tip of those trees, I'll shake trees. Have you ever watched bulls rake in the woods? You can see the trees moving. It's pretty phenomenal. That's how we spot a lot of these elk coming in. The next thing is pretty involved. And I almost didn't want to say this, and I almost didn't want to bring it up to you guys, because I know it's going to probably geek you guys out. And I just don't quite know how to say it, but use your reed for what it was designed for. Every reed out there is designed a little bit different. Gage and I are such heavy callers, we blow through reeds real easy. So we tend to get the heavier latex and the tighter stretch calls. And what we're talking about there is like the September bro call, the pitch black three, Phelps call himself, Gage calls it the alien. I call it the gorilla. I don't know what it is. It's Phelps' call, the pink one. And Phelps also has that purple call that is like super stretch and super loud. And we use that for locating. The OTC is another good one from Bro. And we use the bomb tube from Bro. I haven't used any other calls outside of those. I've used some of the Elk Attic calls. And the red-black reed call, that's a pretty tight call, but we blow through it pretty quick. So those are the calls that I would suggest, is understanding the calls and understand what they're built for. Like the Bro easy cow call, that's a good cow call. So the shooter should have a cow call in their mouth at all time, and it's a good call for for lighter cow calls and some lighter bugles, or if you have a hard time trying to get a sound out of a call, get those lighter ones. And then understand too, the heavy bugles, everybody says, well, you got to get like a spike bugle if it's a small bull and this and that. That's ridiculous, and don't fall for it. The biggest thing that you want to use for a bugle is you want to use as loud as you can get, and as mean as you can get at times. Now, understand that that is something that is building. That's a building crescendo. So we like what I'm saying is we like to use the lighter calls and or we'll use a heavy call when we're way out. But if we start getting into a bull and say we start breaking into that 200, 300 yard range, and you know, he's just calling back and he's following the cows, he's in transition, and we're just going to kind of keep him located and keep following him and kind of bug him. Here's one of the tricks is you got to kind of bug him. You know, if you just went into the bar and said, "Hey, I'm going to fight you." Most of the guys in the bar would be like, "Whatever, dude, you're crazy. I'm blowing you off. You're not even a threat. You're just nutty." When we do that out in the elk woods, the elk do the same thing to us, especially the big bulls. They're like, "Okay, whatever. This is what's wrong with this guy." But if you go in and you kind of chase the herd around and you kind of just keep after them and mess with them the whole time, and as you're doing this, you can hear the bull kind of starting to get things different, and cows, you can hear cows starting to do things. When the cows start answering your bugles, you'll hear that bull start get more intense, and he's going to keep going with the cows. You're probably not going to call that bull off during that transition time. You guys probably, I don't know if you've seen our video, but that's exactly what was going on with Kevin's bull. We followed that bull forever. We called other little bulls off of that herd before that big one came in. And the way that kept happening is the little ones would come in, they'd smell us, and they'd take off running, right? And they'd run right back to the herd. Well, Kevin's bull wasn't ever smelling us because we made sure that we kept our wind out of his. And when those little bulls come in, they can't tell the other bull, "Hey, look, there's a dude over there." It's no. Kevin's bull probably thought that we were another big bull over there. And we just kept bagging on him and kept hitting him and kept messing with him until finally he just had enough. And that's how you have to do it. If you're going to kill those big bulls, you just got to keep after them. And you will call in the little guys. The little guys come over and see who you are. You know, it's funny. They it's kind of like that mentality of fight, fight, fight. We're going to go see who that is. And the little bulls are just funny that way. Anyhow, when you're doing that, as the intensity is increasing, you got to intensify your calls. So what I'm saying is if you're using a call that you can't get a lot of good grunts and a lot of good squeals and a lot of growls out of, then you probably need to switch to a call that does. So I wish you could just try every call that's out there. The thing is, you can't, right? I mean, it costs a lot of money to get every call that's out there. But if you go to the call manufacturer's page and you look at the stretch and the thickness of latex, that'll tell you how that call is going to perform. And one of the things that I like to do is I don't start with the real light ones. I'm not a big fan of the real light calls. I like a heavier call. I think it's the reason. It's the yellow bro call is a very good in-between call. That's a good one to start with. And then you end up with a very heavy call. When I'm in close and I'm growling, and man, very few squeals are coming. You know, that long "Bee-er" is not a thing I'm doing anymore. I'm and just giving them that big gruntle. And if you've been around a lot of elk, that's what they do, is they are that way. And they've kind of moved into that kind of realm to where they're not giving you locate bugles at all anymore. They're just growling at you. And it's awesome. That, I mean, when we start getting to that point, oh my gosh, that's where we want to be. So let's move into the last thing here. And we kind of touched into it a little bit, but it's kind of the same thing. It all works together. And the last thing is you have to, can I say it again? Have to challenge that bull. And what I mean by that is, and the only way that I've ever been able to do it is to find them when they're bedded. And then you go in there and you just wreck their world. I'm telling you, that's what works. And like I said, a lot of people get to those bulls when they're bugling in the morning. They'll find them because they could hear them bugle in the morning. in their feed spots. They're, where elk feed is usually really open compared to where they bed. And so a lot of people could hear them in their feeding spots, and then they don't hear them on the ridges and stuff because all the timber up there just kind of muffles it. So you'll find a lot of people think that they have to call elk in those areas, but those same people are really realizing that have to figure out that those elk are just down there eating at night. If you want to call in a bull at night, that's a great place to do it. But last I checked, I don't think there's any place you could shoot a bull at night. So you really have to start understanding what the elk are doing, right? And that's probably one of my biggest tips is follow those bulls and keep them. And the only way you're going to follow them is if you're on the ridge line up above them. And because if you're down below them, they're moving so fast up to their bedding spots. I mean, just by walking and picking, that you're not going to keep up. I mean, you can running. You'll see in some of our videos where we're running because we got caught down in the bottom. But if you're up on the ridgeline, you could adjust, and then you just keep following, keep pestering them. We like to just keep pestering them. Sometimes that bull is so, you know, if he's got a really hot cow in there, he's going to probably get a little bit crazy right off the bat. But he won't come in. If those cows are still moving away from him, he's not going to come in. I mean, maybe some of you guys have had that happen to you. I've never seen it. But if you keep pestering him, by the time they get to their bedding area, and a little trick that I like to play is once they get to their bedding area and they stop, and you know, you're going to figure it out when they stop at their bedding area, you just stop with them. And then you know what I like to do is I'll let them get settled in, and I'll just be quiet. And I'll sneak in to where I kind of feel like I'm within 80 yards. I broke that 100-yard range. Then I'll just go in there and give him one really good, and give him that, you know, that gruntle at the end. And usually that gets that bull so fired up. He's like, man, I thought I lost this guy. But he, the nerve of him, and I don't know, there's something about that. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but there's something about that, that when you do that, it seems like the bulls come in a little bit easier. If you give them a little bit of pause and let them bed down and then re-mess with them after they're bedded down, how do you like guys like getting woke up? It's you know, you take a mid-nap and somebody comes in and says, get up, you got to get to work. Usually you're in a bad mood, right? Well, that's my whole idea about this. That's why I do that. And that's challenging that bull. And if I have enough vegetation in there, I'm going to go in. I'm going to get as close as I can. I've walked right into the bed before the elk bedded. And a lot of times, man, you'll hear the bull. It's hard for bulls to bed down this time of year when he's got a bunch of cows there. He's you know, moving around picking and smelling cows and stuff like that. So you'll hear something in there, or you'll hear the cows, like the calves get kind of antsy, and they want to get up and get moving around. But if you sneak your way in there, another fun thing to do is if you make sure that you're not going to be seen, is to go in there, and if they see the tree, that's cool, but they just can't see you. But go in there and start raking a tree right within 50 yards of them. I tell you what. It just gets that bull just like, mother, why in the world did you, I'm going to go over and kill that guy. And some bulls are different. Okay. So every bull that's out there is a little bit different. I've had, raghorns that were just the meanest little suckers. And there was something about them. They had an attitude. If you look at my pack goats, it's the same way. My biggest pack goat is my softest pack goat. He's just chill. And I got a little guy that's not even, he's a year younger than the rest of them, and he's a turd. I mean, he's a good dude, but he's more rambunctious, and he likes to butt heads with everybody. And so elk are the same way, man. They're all different personalities, and you got to learn how to read that. And one of the best tips I could give you about learning how to read that is just start getting around animals. My goats, man, have taught me so much about animals and about when the deer are going to move. If my goats are out and they want to get out and they want to move around, they want to go play, I know the deer are moving. The elk are probably moving too. If they're pinned up, and there's certain times, like during in the heat of the day, when it's hot these hot spells, man, these goats are laying down. They got plenty of food to go eat, but they are not going to do it. They're gonna lay down and chill out. Part of the problem is if they eat too much good green grass when it's hot like that, I think it bloats them. But which is another thing to think about when you're elk hunting. All these little things that you could pick up from being around animals, that's what makes a successful elk hunter. And that's so when you're out there pressing these bulls, that's what you're really after, is you're pushing on these bulls. So those are my tips. You guys, if any of this stuff helps you, let me know. If there's something you want me to go over, you guys know how to get a hold of me, right? You could email me at southernoregonhunting@gmail.com, or just give me a holler. I'm on all the social platforms. I'd love to bring you more and more of these kind of tips, the stuff that I've learned. If there's something that you want me to expand on and kind of explain, and maybe even tell you a story about how that worked, just give me a holler. I'd love to do that. I love to get you guys out in the woods. One of the things about learning how to elk hunt right is you're not going to mess up other people's elk hunting. As the woods continue to get more and more people out here, I mean, I'm hearing it from a lot of people. They're like, quit teaching people how to elk hunt. We're bringing people into the sport. And if we don't, you guys, if we don't bring people in, it's going to be hard to keep it protected and hard to keep it around. People that love things protect them. So the more people that we have loving this, the more protection we're going to have for it. So that's the reason that we're doing this. That's the reason that we talk to a lot of people, and we're trying to tell people, you know, come out and do this and that. So I'm trying to help you guys do it the right way. And that way, you know, you'll figure out that, oh, that's another hunter. I'm going to leave that alone. Another thing, too, is if you hear a hunter calling a bull and you know it's a bull, don't get in their way. There's plenty of elk out there. Go find another herd. Because two people trying to call around, unless you go catch up with them and say, hey, look, man, we're gonna try to help you get this bull or something like that. Do that kind of thing out there in the woods. That's the kind of stuff that's going to keep us out in the woods, and that's the stuff that's going to keep us doing, keep the bow hunting community in a lot better shape. So hopefully this helps you. I want you guys to be able to get out there, get after it, practice your calling. You know, we'll go over another segment, and I'll hopefully do it on video as well for you guys, so you can see how I do things. But go over your calling, get really good at calling, but use these tips to move your calling into that next level, to become the elk. Because that, I tell you right now, that is where it's at. That's where all these guys are killing all their bulls, is by these little things. There's so many elk sounds out there in the woods as far as calls are concerned, that the elk, you got to sell it. You got to sell the whole situation to them. And these elk are getting really smart to this stuff. And if they don't hear some of this other stuff going on, they're associating it with, you know, something different than an actual elk out there. So hopefully that helps. If you guys need any help figuring out what calls to get, email me. This is the time of year to do it. Get out there, grab your calls, start calling. And if you're the one of those guys that says you can't use a diaphragm call, I would say you can. I would say that you may have to do some practice, but I would say that you can use a call and get good with that thing before the season starts, because you don't want to have to think about calling as you're in these situations. You want to think about how you're going to move that bull around and how that elk is going to respond to what you're doing. And so you don't want to have to second guess your calling, the call itself. You don't want to do that. So hopefully that helps. You guys, we're going to be coming out with these weekly. We got a couple big podcasts coming up. Maybe you guys are switching from a compound to a stick bow. Gage has recently done that, and we're going to bring him on and do the same thing. We're going to talk about how he's made that transition. And this year's going to be the first year that he's going to kill a bull with his stick bow. So we're extremely excited. I don't know if you could tell or not, but we are extremely excited for the season. We have cameras up. We've got our scouting in. We got good tags. We've killed bulls in this unit before. And we are extremely excited. So stay with us. You're going to enjoy it. And until then, shoot straight.
Thanks for joining us for another installment of the Bare Bow Hunter podcast. Remember, we couldn't even be talking about this stuff if it wasn't for our public land. So go and support the people that are protecting it, backcountry hunters and anglers and TRCP. Also, if you'd like to see more of Bare Bow Hunters, go to our Facebook group, go to our Instagram at Bare Bow Hunters, like us, and hashtag all of your photos with your Bare Bow goodness in them, Bare Bow Hunter. We have a website as well. You can go over there, check out the rest of the podcast. We have videos, we have t-shirts and hats. Thanks again. Until then, shoot straight.